Now, various steps that we are talking about, let's also talk about certain areas where things didn't move as well as they should have. So I had mentioned in one of the past discussions that the cruise ship industry, now there is a locational, lot of locational upheaval happening out there, and they will have to rethink their, you know, where they can dock, what their routes can be, what tours they can plan, because a lot of the countries are taking very strong actions against the cruise ship industry from a pollution point of view, from a carbon footprint point of view, from an energy use point of view, and also from the tourist influx which comes, you know, because these tourists usually don't spend too much time and don't bring in too much revenue to the ports where they dock, because they can pretty much spend the day, do a tour and go back at night and sail elsewhere. So now again, that is going to be a big, the cruise ship industry is going to have to rethink its location strategy. Likewise, when we think about 5G. Now, 5G radiation, there is a lot of controversy and theories about the electromagnetic effect of 5G radiation. And obviously, those are not positive theories or, you know, studies. So a lot of areas are, a lot of countries and a lot of governments and states may be taking a call in terms of, you know, not permitting 5G towers, not permitting, you know, a lot of the technology, though eventually everyone is moving in that direction, but purely in terms of the concentration of those, you know, towers. And that is going to affect. There are also studies which show that from a wildlife point of view, from the fishing point of view, sea life point of view, 5G radiation is not good for the wildlife. It is not good for the animal health. So obviously, they are going to have to think of their location strategy in ways where they are not adversely affecting the ecosystem and the wildlife around, which is a serious concern. So a lot of these elements go into the picture when identifying locations, countries, states, which is the ideal location, or when you are trying to switch from one location to another. Various models are used by different parties, you know, different players, in terms of what location to use, and you know, a lot of qualitative and quantitative factors come into play. We have mentioned some of these, discussed some of these. Now, sometimes you have locational advantages which are based on taxation, which are based on, you know, those being free trade zones, you know, SOPs to attract investment, that if you come and, you know, put up your plant in XYZ location, then you're going to have get tax benefits, you're not going to have to pay certain tariffs, etc. Certain free trade agreements which are there between countries, reciprocal bilateral agreements. Like right now, if you're tracking the news, then there is this huge tariff war which is going on between President Trump in the US and the rest of the world. You know, there are reciprocal tariffs being thrown against various countries, and then those countries throwing back tariffs against US products, and all of that is a very volatile situation, and that is going to impact a lot of the decisions in terms of locational strategies for a lot of the alternative locations, new locations, which are going to be put up for various products and services. So, again, now let me mention to you, while we're talking about all of these elements, one of the cases where location strategy and how location played such a huge part in terms of, causing a complete upheaval of the business is coming to the Tata Motors Tata Nano plant. So we know Tata Nano is the budget car when conceptualized a decade and a half ago. It was Ratan Tata's, the late founder, Ratan Tata, his vision to have a car which cost 1 lakh, so that even someone with not a very high budget, people who were managing with scooters could move to a car and not have to shell out too much. And the origins of this are considered when Mr. Ratan Tata saw a person, you know, taking an elderly parent on a scooter in the rain. And he felt that, you know, someone like him should not have to, you know, suffer this and should be able to afford at least a basic car where you are not getting exposed to these vagaries. So that is where the origins of the novel origins came about in terms of the Tata Nano. Now, he put up the Tata Nano plant in the Singur district of the Hooghly region in West Bengal. Now, 1,000 acres of land was acquired from farmers for this huge plant, which involved an outlay of 700 to 800 crores. And under the regime and government that was there, the permissions were given and the plant, you know, got underway and was near completion. But it led to huge amount of unrest among the local farmers. So while a lot of local farmers accepted the compensation. So when there is land acquisition, then, and especially land acquisition to the magnitude of 1,000 crores, then you will have compensation which is being given to the farmers for whether it's by the government, whether it's by the corporate, depending on who is acquiring the land, for their land, which they probably own, you know, the generations and generations, you know, have been in their family, ancestral land, which is what we, you know, usually know it as. So a lot of the farmers accepted the compensation, but a lot of the farmers refused the compensation because either they were not satisfied with the quantum of the compensation. But when you also, another larger factor was that for generations and generations and hundreds of years, they have lived in that area. When you give up your land, so not only have they lived there, they have lived there, they have worked there, it is their life and their livelihood. So when you are acquiring their land and you are giving them compensation, then it's not just the money received, you are uprooting their entire life. They have to give up their land and physically move away from here to, you know, wherever they can afford to be. And physically moving away means that they are uprooting their life, they are uprooting the community, they are uprooting their livelihood, because right now they can't go and start farming overnight somewhere else, you know. They have been farming here for generations and generations. So it's not simply a matter of money, it is a matter of livelihood, community, and completely uprooting their life. So a lot of the farmers refused to accept the compensation, and they feared a loss of livelihood, loss of land, and were resistant to it. Now, also, this movement got extensive support from the Mamata Banerjee government. So when the TMC started supporting this movement, it became an even more fired movement, and there were sit downs and strikes and, you know, dharnas, as we know in India, resist this. And also, in a lot of ways, that contributed to in the next election large scale wins for TMC government. So when that happened, then the entire landscape, despite the investment having been made, despite that spend having been made, despite that plant being near completion, left no choice. You know, in 2008, eventually seeing that, you know, the regime had changed, seeing the resistance, seeing the you know, the tension, the violence, Tata Motors and Ratan Tata decided to, despite a near complete plant, decided to withdraw from Singur and move away, because there was no way that you know, his plant was going to be allowed to operate out there. It was just not a political environment where he could operate his plant. So he had to move out. And even though the governor at the time tried to play mediator between the government in power, the new government in power, and Tata Motors and all the parties involved, so that this whole business could be salvaged, because keep in mind that this business would have brought around community development, would have brought around labor, would have brought around employment for another set of people, not essentially for the farmers, but would have contributed to the economy of the region as well in other ways, as perceived by other parties. So while there were mediators, and the governor, then governor, tried to play mediator, however, they could not salvage this. And eventually, Tata Motors exited, withdrew, left that near complete plant in Singur, and then moved to Gujarat and set up their plant in Gujarat, where the political environment then was more conducive for the setting up of this plant. Now, as a result, this all of this labor that went in, all of this investment that went in, all of this effort that went in, and just about recent, and then of course, Tata Motors is not going to write off its 800 crores and forget about what they spent on the plant. So then, they took the West Bengal Industrial Development Corporation and various, government entities, etc., to court, litigation over receiving compensation for that investment that was made, because they didn't make that investment without approvals. They did seek their approvals. They did get their licenses. They did get government, they went ahead with the plant only after the legitimate approvals and permissions would have been received. But despite that, this cancellation of the land acquisition and opposition of the land acquisition happened. So it has gone to court. A few years ago, there was a win for Tata Motors, and West Bengal Industrial Development Corporation was asked to return some 760 crores to them with 11% interest. Now, whether that has been appealed, how it's going back and forth, but can you imagine the kind of pain that has involved, and the kind of disappointment that would have been there. Now, something like that, Tata Group is a group which has a lot of its strategies in place. Now, but something like that, how do you, anticipate something like that? And something like that required so much pain and effort. So if a location strategy goes wrong, then that can be extremely painful, cost inefficient for a company. And here in this case, it's a Tata Group which could, survive that 800 crore damage when it happened, when they had to move. They have deep purse strings and they could survive that. A lot of the businesses are not going to survive that kind of, flop of their business idea and their investment. And that's going to be the end of them, as happens with a lot of companies and businesses. So location strategy is something which becomes exceedingly important when talking about your service delivery, your production facilities, and your business capabilities. So once again, having given you these examples, I can't stress enough how useful a location strategy can be for you. Now look at, when companies are moving away from China, for example, Apple. They are moving a lot of their production of iPhones from China to India. And in southern part of India, they have this huge facility. In India, they have tie-ups with the Tata Group, Foxconn, etc. They are looking to move almost 25% of their assembly of iPhones to India. So, this decision has been taken after a lot of brainstorming. Now, also what happened during the pandemic is that China, where, the origin, ground zero for the coronavirus, a lot of the ports like the Wuhan port got shut. China became inaccessible. And a lot of the companies across the world realized how much excessive dependability on China can adversely affect them. And if China gets shut off, you're completely at the mercy of factors which are in, God's hands. Factors completely out of everyone's control. So this whole philosophy of China plus one came into being, which was around but got strengthened even more after COVID. where companies and countries started realizing that they have to have an alternative beyond China and have to start shifting a lot of their business and dependability from China to other countries so that they do not get completely shut off and left high and dry in situations where China gets shut off or there's some other issue. So India, with its locational advantage, India with its manpower advantage, we have a large working population, we can provide more cost-effective manpower, we are up the curve on skills, on IT, etc. India is making the most of this opportunity, which is moving away from China. So location, India can benefit significantly from this locational example where you have companies and countries moving away from China or from other locations, and we can. So while we are talking at a macro level, at a country level, even at a smaller level, more individual level, tangible, intangible, a location strategy in terms of having a business close to where your customers are can hugely, hugely benefit you. Location strategy where you have better government policies, better raw material sourcing, more skilled manpower, greater access to your transport, logistics, greater access to your better climatic conditions. All of these factors impact your location strategy. So you have to also see what sort of what is the pattern of your customers, what sort of, when you are especially at a local community level, in terms of neighborhoods, let's say you have these outlets from where purchases can be made. Is your customer coming by foot? Are they driving down? If you have, a lot of times you have situations where someone's driven down, but there's no parking space. So you have to accordingly keep these little aspects in mind as well, in terms of, sometimes you have really kacha, roads, not really permanent roads, access. So access ways, etc., these tiny micro aspects also come into play and can set you apart from your competition. Now, real estate prices are, of course, important. And you have to keep those in mind from a long-term contract point of view. But real estate prices are not the only factor. But of course, when you have your corporates and you see, new corporate premises coming up and discounts and all of that, then you have to not only look at the real estate prices, you have to also look at, how well does it. You may go in for something which is very conducive for you from a rent cost point of view, but how appropriate is it for you from various other elements in terms of your raw materials, in terms of your customers, in terms of all of that. So, for example, very often people choose to live close to where their business offices are so that they're not spending, in the traffic, they're not spending hours and hours traveling every day. So you have to look at, even if the rents are more, they don't mind because that, the opportunity cost of spending 3 hours, 4 hours per day traveling, you would much rather use that time for something else, better qualitative, even if the real estate prices are higher. So when we're talking about location, it's not simply absolute cost of real estate. You have to take it holistically in terms of weighing it against the other considerations. Some of the other factors are incentives, trade zones, community. So sometimes there are companies which, from a incentive point of view or from developing local communities, there are companies, which will not only choose a location strategy, but having chosen, then also develop those locations for their employees, give them facilities where employees and their families can benefit from them, also create, cultural experiences in terms of having museums, facilities for the children, opera houses, theater houses. So location strategy also involves giving back so that you can develop a location in a way that it becomes a lot more attractive for your customers and for your employees as well. a lot of these factors we have spoken about from a point of view of your location strategy in the various examples that we have seen across companies, across countries. Also, companies may choose to use a combination of strategies, a combination of factors when it comes to their location strategies. And of course, these could be across product, market, processing, labor, etc. So companies could use a mix and have multiple strategies. You have conglomerators who are in multiple business units, and they could be using a different strategy or a combination of strategies for different business units or for different countries or for different customer segments. Trends for the future are going to excessively take into account competition, economic environment, nationalistic environment, political environment, transport, logistics, IT, the digital transformation that is happening, automation, and what is not mentioned here, but the geopolitical wave that is catching on across the globe. So thank you. That's a little bit on production strategies and location strategies across the globe. So as you have seen, right from a very micro level to a macro level, location strategy can be vital to the success or failure of a business. So companies and services have to keep those in mind from a point of view of what they take into account, because again, location is something which is not which cannot be changed overnight. Location, a commitment to a location is something which is long term. When we were talking about the example of Tata Motors and the Nano plant in Singur, while they moved in 2008 to Gujarat after West Bengal didn't work out, but you see how long the saga has gone on. So moving to an alternate location is not something which can which happens easily, and a lot of entities may not be able to do it as well. So it is not simply a matter of an existing plant, but especially when you talk about a new plant, an alternative plant, then all the more you have to keep in mind the various aspects to arrive at the most optimal locational strategy for you. Thank you.